Ulonu Chachomim. Therefore, and the therefore, we will have to understand what is the connection to what we just said. We just said that Ilu lo yhoitzi, if God wouldn't have taken us out from Egypt, we would still be there. Vafilu kulonu chachomim. Therefore, if we would, even if we would all be sages, kulonu nevonim, we would all have understanding. Kulonu zekenim. Some of you may not have the kulonu zekenim. If we would all be experienced, zekenim, mishekono chokmo, experience, kulam yodim es haTorah, and if we would all know Torah, still mitzvah leinu lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim. Even if we all are sages, we know everything, be experienced, zekenim, mishekono chokmo, experience, kulam yodim es haTorah, and if we would all know Torah, still mitzvah leinu lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim. Even if we all are sages, we know everything, very wise men, we have a lot of wisdom, we would still have to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. V'chol hamar b'letzaper b'tziyat Mitzrayim harei ze mishubo. And the more you tell this story, the better it is, meaning there is no maximum. You can tell the story as long and as deeply as you want. Now, first of all, there is a question of continuity. How does it follow? Because ilu lo yoytzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore afilu kulonu chachomim. How does that follow? And number two, why would we have a habe aminah? Why would we even think that a person who knows everything doesn't have to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? After all, the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. Would you say, for instance, that a Jew who understands the meaning of putting on tefillin, he knows, he understands exactly the meaning, he doesn't have to put on tefillin? That's ridiculous. The fulfillment of the mitzvah has nothing to do with your understanding of the mitzvah. Just the opposite. The more you understand it, the more you have to fulfill it. So therefore, what is even the havamine? Why would we even consider the possibility that a Jew who knows everything, a Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Why would we even have such a habe aminah? Why would we even consider the possibility? Says the Mara like this. The Gemara says that you are not allowed to praise Hashem more than what we know from the Torah that you are allowed to. For instance, there was a story, I can't remember exactly the Gemara, this Gemara in Brochet, but I can't remember which daf it is, that someone went up to the Omud and he said, Hokeil HaGodol HaGibor V'Hanoiro, which are all things that it says in the Tanakh, and then he added, Ho Adir Ha, and he kept adding adjectives. He's the great one and the most powerful one. He kept adding on his own more and more adjectives. Omar Rabbi Chizda, so Rabbi Chizda tells him, that's all. So continue, do more, say more. You know, it's like he insulted him as if to say, what kind of a stupidity is that you add to the adjectives, to the qualities of God? Says the Gemara, Moshle Mohadovor Dome, what can you compare it to? A man praises the king for his silver utensils. When the king has so much gold, right, that it fills up his whole palace, you praise him with something that he's not even proud of, something small, right? So therefore, mi yimalel gvurois Hashem, mi yimalel gvurois Hashem. How can you express the greatness of Hashem, right? Since whatever you say will be like silver in comparison to gold. That's what the Gemara says. Asks the Maral, if so, how do we say Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? We praise it. Tremendous, you took us out of Egypt. Wouldn't that be also considered praising him with silver when he really has gold? And following the same idea that the Gemara says, Mi yimalel gvurois Hashem, you're not allowed to praise God, right? So why is there a chiyuv of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim that we on our own create our own text, our own version of how to praise God? Remember the Haggadah, that's something that has been established relatively lately, right? Originally, each one expressed the greatness of God in his own words. How can you do that? Right? Answers the Maharal the following. I'll give you the example. You'll understand the Maharal right away. What about if a great surgeon, right? He saw that you have a little scratch, right? And he gave you, he gave you some alcohol, right? And he took care of your cut, right? And then you praise him. How great you are, right? That you knew how to take care of my little cut. The man is one of the greatest surgeons in the world. And you praise him because he took care of the little cut. So as praise, it's ridiculous. But do you have to thank him for it? Do you have to show appreciation for the fact that he took care of your cut? That's for sure. Now, appreciation, that's something completely different. So what about if the king gave you a present, a piece of silver? You're not praising him for the silver, you are showing him appreciation. Okay? Now, the question is like this. Our telling over Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that a matter of describing the greatness of God? It's part of our obligation towards God to describe His greatness? Or is it thanksgiving for our own personal experience? That's the question. If it's something that happened to our forefathers, right, thousands of years ago, and it's just a matter that it was such a great act that we have to remember it, right, because it shows how powerful God is. That would be a ridiculous reason for us to tell the story of Egypt. Why? Because I can say, what, you're going to praise God? I mean, as much as God did in Yetzias Mitzrayim, he can do a million times more. What about if you're obligated to feel that if it wouldn't be because of that, you would still be a slave? Meaning, Jews would have remained slaves forever. Character-wise, they would have remained slaves forever. And the fact that I feel like a free man is because God took me out of Egypt. Now, I am different because God took the Jews out of Egypt. If so, you're saying it's just me trying. It's not as praise to God. It's as thanksgiving. Right? Therefore, says the Maharal, here's the continuity. Take a look. If God wouldn't have taken us them out of Egypt, we would still be there. Therefore, even though we are all great sages, and we know and we understand that you can't praise God, it's ridiculous to praise God, right? But thanksgiving you are still obligated to do. Therefore, mitzvah lesafer b'tzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, we have the mitzvah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the mitzvah. The moment we know about it, it would be sufficient. The mitzvah is because it's a mitzvah of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving you are obligated to do. And thanksgiving, it makes no difference who you are. Just the opposite. The greater person you are, the more you realize how much you owe that surgeon that did you the favor, the more you have to express your thanksgiving. Therefore, the more you express your thanksgiving, the better it is. Because it's not just a matter of knowledge. If it would be a matter of knowledge, once you know it, that's it. It's a matter of thanksgiving, says the Maharal. And this is the connection to the next piece. Maase, what is the proof that even the greatest sages of Israel spent a whole night telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maase b'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua v'Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah v'Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Tarfon, the greatest sages of that generation, shehoyu mesubim b'Bnei Brak, they were in a city, B'Nei Brak. We don't know why the name is mentioned. How is that relevant to the story? V'hoyu misaprim Yetzias Mitzrayim kol lo'isho alaylo. And they told the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night, Ad Shebo Talmidein Ve'omru, until their students came and told them, Rabbo Seinu, Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shachrit. Stop, because now the time has come to say Kriya Shema. That proves on the surface connection is that you see that even the great sages, they a whole night they spoke about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Now, it's one of the great unknowns in the Haggadah where the author got this piece from. Obviously, it's an old midrash. It sounds like an old midrash. Masef, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. It doesn't appear in any of the midrashim that we found, right? So it's possible. I mean, it got lost. There are many midrashim that got lost, so this one also got lost. Meaning, we have no source for this story. There are some who see in this story another meaning. Besides its superficial meaning, that is to prove that even great Chachomim still tell the story, right? There is another meaning. And this other meaning has to do with the Mered Bar Kokhba, with the rebellion of Bar Kokhba that happened, right, during this period. Now, what do we know about the Mered Bar Kokhba, about the rebellion of Bar Kokhba? What we know is that Rabbi Akiva declared, he announced that we all have to follow Bar Kokhba because he is Mashiach. At the end, he failed. He was a failed Mashiach, not a false Mashiach, Chas V'Sholem. There is a difference between a false Mashiach and a failed Mashiach. A false Mashiach means somebody who simply lies to us. A failed Mashiach is someone who was supposed to be Mashiach, and had he done everything which is right till the end, he would have been Mashiach, right? Something went wrong in the middle and it didn't work out. In other words, Bar Kokhba was certainly a failed Mashiach, not a false Mashiach. He failed, he didn't make it. Yeah.
I was saying Mashiachs are given tests also. I thought Mashiach is just...
It's not only... First of all, they are given tests.
Yeah.
And the people are given tests, right? It could be that he's the right Mashiach. Something happens that people just don't deserve it. They go wrong. So the process is stopped.
But he
right?
failed or the people failed?
Well, the way the Gemara says what happened, you know, it's what went wrong with Bar Kokhba, we can derive from it that the Gemara blames Bar Kokhba. Because Bar Kokhba told his troops, don't ask God to help you, just ask God he shouldn't help our enemies. We can understand them under the circumstances. He wanted to give, you know, courage to his own troops. We are so strong that we don't even need God to help us. He wanted to give them confidence. He overdid it, and therefore they failed. We'll see there is a much more depth to that story. But that's on the surface, that's what the Gemara tells us, that Bar Kokhba failed. So the Gemara seems to blame Bar Kokhba himself for the failure. But I just wanted to clarify that he was not a false Mashiach, but a failed Mashiach. And it's something completely different. Now, there is another story in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Enormous amounts, 24,000, I think the Gemara says, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died Bein Pesach Le'atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos, right? From what? What did they die from? So there is one Gemara that says Misas Askro. They had some kind of a sickness in their throat, right? Some people see in that statement they have a sickness in their throat, that it's a hint to the dibur, to the capacity to speak. That means that they didn't speak the right things. That's why the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Some others see in that statement that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died Bein Pesach Le'atzeres a hint to something else, to the fact that Rabbi Akiva sent off his students, his disciples, to fight with Bar Kokhba. And that is a fact. It's a fact that Rabbi Akiva himself joined the fight with Bar Kokhba, and the students of Rabbi Akiva went to war with Bar Kokhba. Okay? And for some reason that we don't know, the failed rebellion, right, happened during Yemei HaSfira, right? And the Talmide Rabbi Akiva passed away. They died. And that statement that the Gemara says that they all died from a sickness is only a hint to something else that the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what is the reason that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died? What was the cause for the punishment? Shelo nohagu kovod zeim ze, says the Gemara. They didn't act with a proper respect for each other. Now, look how everything fits together. Not having respect stems from what? You know, why would a Talmid Chochem not have respect for the other Talmid Chochem? Because what? He thinks what? God, you know, he thinks of himself as a greater Talmid Chochem. That's why I wouldn't respect another Talmid Chochem. Who is he? I am greater. Right? That fits perfectly with the failure of Bar Kokhba. What was the failure of Bar Kokhba? Right? We are self-sufficient. We don't need anybody. We are great. We don't, you know. That fits perfectly with the same failure of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Right?
Where they got it from? Did they get it from Bar Kokhba?
What? It doesn't matter. It just that it happens that that was the failure of the generation. The failure of the whole generation is the failure of haughtiness. Now, the Gemara says, in order to be mekabel de Torah, what is the main trait that you have to have in order to become a recipient of Torah? What do you need? What? Humility. Anovo. Anivus. Why? Because the same way the Torah is compared to water, the water always goes to a mokim nomuch, to a low place, that shows that only humility can accept Torah. And it's simple. Why? Because the moment you have haughtiness, you have preconceived notions, right? If you have preconceived notions, how can Torah fit into your notions, right? In order to accept Torah, you have to have no preconceived notions. In order to have no preconceived notions, you can't have any holiness. You have to have humility. Now, the Yemei HaSfira, what are they? The days of the Sfira. Days of preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. Right? This is when it's more important than ever to develop what trait? Humility. What was the failure of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim and Bar Kokhba? Lack of humility. This is why, when does it happen, that death? During that period when you are supposed to be to have humility, which is Bein Pesach LeShavuot. This is why an enormous change in the meaning of Sfira happens. There is a Ramban in Emor, in Pasha Emor, that says that Sfira is like Chol HaMoed, says the Ramban. You hear such a statement? Sfira, the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuot, are like Chol HaMoed, like the middle days in the holidays. Those are festive occasions. This is the reason he says that Shavuos has no date in the Torah. Why? Because Shavuos is just a continuation of Pesach. It's like one long holiday. Right? And what happens in Jewish history? That long holiday is turned into an occasion for mourning, for Avelus. We don't shave, we don't listen to music, we don't make weddings. Why? Because we didn't use out, right? I mean, it was Klal Yisrael, through their representatives, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the followers of Bar Kokhba, didn't use out the Yemei HaSfira like they should, so they caused the opposite. So from a festive occasion, it became a very sad occasion, okay? Okay, now, what are we saying then? That some, at a certain point, right after Pesach, Talmidei Rabbi Akiva joined the fight. Could there be a connection between this story and the fight with Bar Kokhba? Let's analyze this story. First of all, Bnei Brak. What do we know about Bnei Brak? We know that, you know who was the head of the community in Bnei Brak? Who was the poisek in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva. Le Rabbi Akiva le Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was the city of Rabbi Akiva. That's where he used to learn, in Bnei Brak. He used to live in Bnei Brak. Is it a coincidence that he's mentioned over there? It can't possibly be. Vehoyu mesaprim bitzias mitraim. They told the story of the Exodus. Now, how often did this story happen? Every year? Doesn't make sense. It should be every year. Because if it would be every year, why would it say Maase? Maase, Brabelozor. What does that show then? Once? It happened once. Why did it happen once? Why didn't it happen every year? Here. We can derive from the text of the story that this is a one-time story. Right? It wouldn't make sense that this is something that repeats itself every year. So then the question really is, so why didn't it happen every year? Right? Comes out that something special was happening this year. Right. What was special? The subject of Yitzias Mitzrayim became relevant this year. What could be a parallel to Yitzias Mitzrayim? The rebellion against the Romans. At that point, they were still in Israel. But they were in Israel and they were in Mitzrayim. In other words, they were in a state of tsar, Mitzrayim, Loshen Tzor. Narrow, no freedom. The Romans didn't give us any freedom then. So they decided we have to say Kriya Shema. What is the real meaning of Kriya Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Hashem Echad of the Kriya Shema is a hint of Bayom Ha'u Iye Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. What does it mean, Hashem Echad? Does it mean God is one? Obviously not, because how can we say that day will come when God will be one, and today He's not one. So what does it mean, God is one? Whenever we say God is one, we don't mean God is one. The God is one, even right? We mean that we will perceive God as one. Bayom Ahu, the day will come that the whole world will perceive Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Not that He will be one, He'll be perceived as one. When will that day come? When Mashiach will come, that's Mashiach. So when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we are saying the Hashem, which is Elokeinu now, is the Hashem that someday will be Al Kol Horetz Echad. He'll be one. This is why Shema Yisrael, not Yaakov, it's Yisrael. Why? Because the name Yisrael is a name that's given to Jacob when? Only after his victory, in the morning, when he conquers, when he controls the Malach Shel Esav, that is the Mos HaMashiach, then it's called Yisrael. He struggled and won against the Malach Shel Esav. Okay? Comes out that the statement, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is a clear hint to Mos HaMashiach. Okay? Now, with all those facts, we can look at this story as being a hint, right, a remnant of a story that happened once, and a hint to a major breakthrough that happened in Klal Yisrael. A decision of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, remember we mentioned that it's Bnei Brak, we are talking about the place of Rabbi Akiva, right? They all decided, Voyumisabrim Bitsias Mitraim, a whole night they spoke about the Exodus, right? Ad until Shebo Talmidehem, the disciples of all of them came and said, you know what? Higiyaz man kriyash mashal shachris. In other words, it's time for Mashiach. In other words, let's join Bar Kokhba. And that's Pesach. And that's exactly when Talmidei Rabbi Akiva joined. Okay? And there is another thing that we can... You know, everybody's bothered with the Rambam. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva had decided that Bar Kokhba is the Mashiach. If you take a look in the Rambam, in the last chapter of the Yad HaZoker, he says, Rabbi Akiva, v'chol chachmei hador, and all the sages of the generation decided that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. And the commentaries say they don't know where the Rambam got that everybody else was with Rabbi Akiva. In the Gemara, only Rabbi Akiva is mentioned. We don't know that the other sages joined them, right? This wouldn't be a bad source for the Rambam. Now, From here we see that all their disciples decided, and they were all with Rabbi Akiva. And if this story is a hint to something that happened with connected with the rebellion of Bar Kokhba, then it wouldn't be too unusual to say. So you see that Rabbi Akiva wasn't alone. Everybody else joined them. So here we have an interesting source for the Rambam to say that it wasn't Rabbi Akiva alone.
Doesn't this story seem to say that it was the Talmidim, the pupils, who made the decision rather than their teacher?
Of course. And the ones who went were the disciples. No, the ones that went to war to say, let's take the Geula in our hands, were the disciples. They only discussed it. But from their discussion, right, it's not like it sounds on the surface that the Talmidim were somewhere else. The Talmidim, the disciples were listening to them up to the point that they said, Zeman Kriyashma. And it's interesting, the daylight time is always the hint, this month, the symbol for Yemot HaMashiach. Okay? So, according to this, then this story then has a much more historical meaning than it seems on the surface. Omar Rabbele Ozor Ben Azariah, Hare ani keven shivim shono. I am like 70 years. Not really 70 years, but I'm the same as if I would be 70 years. The lo zochisin, I did not, I wasn't able, you know, so I didn't merit shetei omer yitzias mitzrayim balelos. That yitzias mitzrayim should be said at night. Which means like this. In the time of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kriya Shema, the way we say it, it consists of three parts. Shema, Vayom Shamoya, and Vayomer, right? In the days of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it wasn't that way. Shema consisted of the first and second portion. The third portion was only part of the Kriya Shema, in the morning. In the evening, we didn't say Vayomer at all, right? And the reason why Jews decided to do it that way is simple, because tzitzis is not a mitzvah at night. Tzitzis is a mitzvah during the day, so therefore, since the main part of the third portion of Kriyat Shema is tzitzis, so they said, why should we say it at night? So we don't say it at night. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went on a campaign to change the custom, and he said, it's true, tzitzis you don't need at night, but there are a few verses at the end that are important to be said at night. What? Ani asher tzeisi eschem eretz mitzrayim le'zochem lakim. That's an important thing, and that you should say at night. And he wasn't able, even though he was like 70 years, he wasn't able. Ad shedrosho ben zoimo. Then a young man called Ben Zomo, always it was a sign that it's a young man, not from the real rabbi, because the real rabbi was never called by his father's name, Ben Zomo, right? We even know his name. His name was Shimon Ben Zomo. It should be Rabbi Shimon Ben Zomo. No, Ben Zomo, that young man Ben Zomo came. Sheneemar, and he dashes the posuk, because the posuk says, Leman tizkores yom tzeischom eretz Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecho. You shall remember the Exodus all the days of your life. So it dashes like this. Yemei chayecho hayomim. Kol yemei chayecho halelos. So he dashes with the word kol, that you do have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim in the evening. So this is what was the basis for Ben Zomo to say the third portion of Kriya Shema. And everybody accepted it. Yeah.
I don't know what this book, Rebbe Lothar Ben Azariah, had a campaign that it should be said at night?
Should be said at night.
Why did he do that if he didn't understand the reason why it should be said?
Oh, good question. So you are asking like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made a campaign, but he had no basis for it. Ben Zomo had a basis, so that's why it was accepted. So why is he so surprised? But besides, so why did he say it? Why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah insist that it has to be said at night? Why? If he has no basis in Drash. You need a basis in Drash. Right? So, in the Sefer Beis Halevi, he says the following. He says like this. The Gemara says in Brochos.
I wanted to bring the Gemara.
in Daf Tes, it's in Daf Tes the Machlokes, Ben Rabbi Akiva le Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria. Is there a Gemara about it? No. Ben Rabbi, no, it's not where not to go, it's not but the, Ben Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria and Rabbi Akiva, there's a Machlokes. The Machlokes is the following. Defining the moment of redemption from Mitzrayim. When is the moment of redemption? On the one hand, when did the Egyptians say to the Jews, leave? When was it? At which point did they say, okay, we've had enough, go? When did the Egyptians say that? That's the moment of freedom, really. At which point was that? Midnight. Right? And when the Mitzrayim saw, right, they came to far and said, come on, let's push them out. Right? Did the Jews leave right away? They didn't leave right away. When did they leave? In the morning. So, technically, when is the moment of redemption? And it makes an enormous difference in halacha. Why? If the moment of redemption is midnight, then all the obligations of that night have to be fulfilled before midnight, including eating of the matzah, saying the haggadah, everything is to be fulfilled before midnight. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, it says in the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down. A person should try to finish, right, the afikomen at least before midnight. Because of that, because the korban pesach was eaten before midnight. So according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, the moment of redemption is midnight. Okay? Rabbi Akiva says no. Redemption is when we actually go out, right, or more. When God allows us to go out. It's not enough that the Egyptians said go. That's not freedom. Freedom is when God tells us, yes, go. When did God tell us go? Morning. So that's when the moment of redemption is. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can say the Haggadah a whole night, right? And you can eat matzah a whole night. By the way, very interesting, many of the commentaries say, if you pay attention to the earlier story, one of the people sitting there was whom? Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria. What was he doing after midnight? Right? So many people say, oh, because he was in Bnei Brak. And Bnei Brak is whose place? Rabbi Akiva. That shows you that out of respect for the head of the community, you have to follow his custom. Right? Because he himself, of course, had no reason to stay there after midnight. Right? After anyway. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, then, redemption was at midnight. According to Rabbi Akiva, redemption was in the morning. Now, if the Torah says, right, that besides the obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus, which comes up once a year, there is also an obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is a daily obligation. You hear the two obligations? There is an obligation of Sipur, story, right? That obligation requires lechatchile, two people, dialogue, right? Telling a story. That's Sipur, otherwise it's not Sipur. But besides that Sipur, which is once a year, right? There is also a mitzvah of Zechiro, right? Remembering. So that comes every day of the year. Where does it say that? Leman tizkoresh yom tzeisko meret mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. It's a mitzvah to remember. Remembering something that takes you a second, and that's it, you remember. The rabbis established the fulfillment of that obligation as part of the prayers in what? In Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Okay? Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, right, to himself. Now, the Torah says that you should remember the Exodus kol yemei chayecho. True? Now, let's try to understand the word yemei. The word yemei is a very difficult word because yemei could have two meanings. Yemei, even the word day, 5 days in English. Do you know exactly what it means, 5 days? 5 days can mean five 24-hour terms, right? Or 5 days may mean five daylights, right? Now, what would make more sense to you, right, if you were Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, And you know that the whole Geulah was at Chatzos, right? The Geulah was at Chatzos. So what does it make sense? That every day when you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, when should it be? Also during the night. So if the Torah tells you during the day, you can make a kal vachomer. Fine. If the Torah tells me Yemei Chayecho, it means during, even during the day, but for sure at night. Did you hear our Lazar ben Azariah learn the pasuk? If the redemption was at night, so Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim for sure is at night. So when is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Day and for sure every night. Makes a lot of sense. According to whom? Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Right. Says Rav Elazar ben Azariah, I am like 70 years old, say the Mefarshim. What does it mean, like? That fits with another Gemara in Brochus. In the fifth period, the Gemara tells the story of the rebellion against Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel was the head of the Academy of Yavne. Right? And for a certain reason, they decided to remove him and assign someone else, give someone else the job. And they decided the perfect person is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, except that he has one problem. He's too young. Right? So a miracle happened, right? And overnight, he looked old. Right? So that's what he says. Hare ani kevem shivim shono, even though Hashem made a miracle that I should look old, which is as if God like certifies that I'm fit for my position, otherwise God wouldn't have bothered making the miracle. So people should have respect for that position, that even God gave me that, put me in that position. And you see, nobody listens to me. Why didn't they listen to him? Because even though Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah was the official head of the academy and Yavne was the center of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, there was an unofficial head of the Jewish community. Who was the unofficial one? The one that when they were considering him for the job, they said, no, he's not fit because he doesn't have pedigree, because he's from Gerim, so we can't put him up on the job. Who was it? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was considered for the job and rejected. But the unofficial head of the world jury, of Torah jury at the time, was still Rabbi Akiva. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was expressing. In spite of the fact, right, that as far as position is concerned, my position is higher than Rabbi Akiva, everybody listened to Rabbi Akiva. I went on a campaign and nobody listened to me. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva held it. When was the redemption? During the day. Rabbi Akiva, everybody listened to Rabbi Akiva. I went on a campaign and nobody listened to me. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva held it. When was the redemption? During the day. Once the redemption is during the day, then you don't have a kal vachomer anymore. Now then, when the Torah says, Leman tizkor es yom teischo meretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecho, you can learn yimei chayecho means days. See, right? Since that, why? Because since the redemption was during the day, it makes a lot of sense that they're remembering the redemption should be during the day. So this is the reason why nobody would listen to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Comes Ben Zoimo and says, no, I'm not basing my decision on a kal vachomer. I have a new hint from the word kol. I have a kabbalah. I have a tradition that the word kol, whenever you see the word kol yemei, comes to include not only the days, but the nights too. Oh, if so, even Rabbi Akiva may agree with that. So that moment that even Rabbi Akiva may agree with that, then the Jews accepted him. Not because Ben Zomo was so important, because they wanted to accept the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah anyway. The only reason that they didn't is because he contradicted with Rabbi Akiva. But now that he learns it out from the word kol, it doesn't contradict with Rabbi Akiva anymore. So they were happy to accept it. Okay? So, really, in a way, from this story, we see a lot of interesting details, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the official head, but the unofficial head still remained Rabbi Akiva. And until Ben Zomo, right, they wouldn't accept what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, even though he was the head.
Yeah. So what's the meaning of the last part of that with the Muhammad test.
Wait, yeah, we're coming to. V'chachomim oimri, but the chachomim argue with Ben Zomo. And they say like this. Yimei chayecho holomazeh. The word kol is not the way Ben Zomo darshens. Because Yemei Chayecho really means Olam Hazeh. Kol Yemei Chayecho Lehovi Lemosa Mashiach. That tells you a big chiddush that even after Mashiach comes, still will have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara explains, also the Gemara in Brochet, what is the argument between Ben Zomo and the Chachomim? Because Ben Zomo seems to be saying that in Imos HaMashiach will won't remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And according to the Chachomim, we will remember, says the Gemara. Yes, that's exactly the Machloket. Because there is a posuk in Yirmiyahu that says like this. That when Mashiach will come, people won't say anymore, remember God who took us out of Egypt. That will be forgotten. Because it will be nothing compared to the Yetzio, the great exodus from all over the world in the final redemption of the Jewish people. In other words, a day will come when Yetzias Mitzrayim will lose its importance relative to Yemos HaMashiach. So if so, that's the argument. So that according to Ben Zomo, it actually means literally that at a certain point in Jewish history, the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim relative to the importance of Imos HaMashiach will be lost. And the Chachomim say no. What it means is that it won't have the same importance, but it will still be important, which means the Chiyuv of Tzipor Yetzias, of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, will even exist in Imos HaMashiach. In other words, it won't be such an experience that will completely overshadow Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, the commentaries ask here that there is one thing that doesn't make any sense here. What is always the rule? Yochid v'rabi, when one person argues with Chachomim, the rule is always like the Chachomim. Now, if the rule is like the Chachomim, then the word kol is already used up for what? For Imos HaMashiach. Therefore, we have no word that hints to us that we have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. If so, Ben Zomo's opinion should be rejected. According to this, the whole portion doesn't make any sense. Why would the opinion of Ben Zomo have been accepted if he's arguing with the Chachomim, right? And they wouldn't accept Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Now Ben Zomo comes and he argues with the Chachomim and his opinion is accepted. That doesn't make any sense. So the Mefarshim say like this, that let me tell you specifically Maharal. The Maharal's opinion in this portion is the following. We didn't read it right according to the Maharal. We read it ad shedorsho ben Zomo, until Ben Zomo darshan, and when Ben Zomo darshan, then everybody accepted it. Said the Maharal, that is wrong. So you have to read it like this. And I wasn't able to convince the Jews to say Yetzias Mitzrayim until the following happened. Shedor Shav Ben Zomo. Ben Zomo said this and this and this and this. And his position was rejected. And then the Chachomim said, Yimei Chayecho Ho'olom Hazeh. Kol Yimei Chayecho Lehovi Limos HaMashiach. So from the rabbi's opinion, they derive that you have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Why? Because Olam Hazeh as opposed to Yemos HaMashiach or Olam Abo is always compared symbolically to the night time. Always, right? We say at night, what do we say? Emes Vemuno. We have faith in the redemption. In the morning, what do we say? Emes V'yatziv. You know, when the morning time comes, you know, it's when the once we live through the redemption, we'll experience it personally, right? Nighttime is always the symbol of uncertainty. Things are dark. You can't see where you're going. You just have faith. Morning is when things become clear. According to this comes out, if the word means Olam Hazeh, so obviously when is more proper of Olam Hazeh? What is more proper, to say it at night if it's Olam Hazeh, or is to say it during the day? So you may chayecho, the Chachomim hints to you that you have to say it at night. Okay? So according to this, says the Maral, that we are really learning it out from the Chachomim, not from Ben Zomo. So you can't read it at Shedorsha Ben Zomo. It's at Shedorsha Ben Zomo, such and such. And the Chachomim said otherwise. And we learn out from the Chachomim that you have to say it at night. That's when the Jews started saying at night too. Okay.